Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Isjet Heavy Engineering Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Yes Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Viral Shah from Yes Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
On behalf of Yes Securities, I would like to welcome all for 3Q FY22 earnings conference call of Isjet. The management is being represented by Mr. Aditya Puri, Managing Director, Mr. S.K. Khurana, Executive Director and Company Secretary, Mr. Kishore Chennani, Whole-time Director and CFO, Mr. Sanjay Gulati, Whole-time Director and Head of Manufacturing Unit. We will start the call with the opening remarks on the results and recent outlook by Mr. Aditya Puri. Post that, we'll have a Q&A. I would like to hand over to Mr. Puri for his opening comments. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our earnings conference call. I hope that you and your loved ones are all well and safe. We've uploaded our presentation on the BSE, NSE, and on our website, www.isjet.com earlier today. We look forward to a fruitful interaction. For the benefit of the new investors and analysts joining for the first time, I will give a brief introduction about our business. As you know, we are a diversified heavy engineering company engaged in manufacturing and project businesses. We manufacture process plant equipment, presses, iron and steel casting, and iron and steel casting. We execute turnkey projects for setting up boilers, power plants, air pollution control equipment, sugar plants, distilleries, factories, and bulk material handling facilities. We've also developed strengths in construction. We address the requirements of a wide spectrum of industries, namely power, fertilizer, sugar and distilleries, oil and gas, automobile components, steel, cement, chemicals, railways, and defense. Our presence across multiple industries and geographies helps us to spread any sectoral or geographical risk. There is a lot more information about our business on our website and the investor presentation we have uploaded on the stock exchanges today. Let me talk about our consolidated financial results for the third quarter of the financial year. The total consolidated revenue for Q3 of FY22 is rupees 1,403 crores, which is about 1.4% lower compared to rupees 1,423 crores for Q3 of FY21. The total consolidated revenue for 9 months of FY22 is rupees 3,915 crores, which is 1.7% higher compared to rupees 3,850 crores for 9 months of FY21. The consolidated EBITDA for Q3 of FY22 at rupees 114 crores is, however, lower compared to rupees 132 crores for Q3 of FY21. The consolidated EBITDA for 9 months of FY22 at rupees 217 crores is also lower compared to rupees 375 crores for 9 months of FY21. The consolidated profit after tax for Q3 of FY22 is rupees 52 crores as compared to rupees 65 crores for Q3 of FY21. The consolidated profit after tax for 9 months of FY22 is rupees 76 crores as compared to rupees 185 crores for 9 months of FY21. The profitability has been sharply lower in the EPC segment and the sugar segment. The EPC segment has been adversely affected by the impact of commodity price increases, particularly on steel, copper, aluminum, and nickel. Time and cost overrun in EPC projects due to impact of COVID-related disruptions, coupled with shortage of skilled manpower. Sharp increase in freight costs, both for purchase of materials and supply of goods to customers. and normal employee costs and increments. As you know, last year we had salary cuts. The sugar segment profits were lower because of lower quantity of sugar sales as there was little export this year. The profits will come in as and when the sugar is sold. Regarding sugar exports, as you know, last year we exported a good quantity of sugar under the government's export subsidy scheme. This year there is no government export subsidy scheme, and we, being located very far from the ports, find it uneconomical to export sugar in comparison to sugar factories located in coastal areas and near to the ports. All the above factors contributed to a lower profitability. The lower profitability on the EPC segment will continue for some more time as the fixed price long duration orders presently under execution were booked before the increase in commodity prices. For the newer orders, we have taken into account higher contingency and margins on costs. I will now talk about order booking. The consolidated order booking for Q3 of FY22 is Rs. 893 crores compared to Rs. 1468 crores of orders booked in Q3 of last year. The consolidated order booking for 9 months of FY22 is Rs. 4166 crores compared to Rs. 339 crores for 9 months of last year. The orders in hand on 31st December 2021 are Rs. 7224 crores compared to Rs. 6863 crores on 31st December 2020. The order booking position is satisfactory. Of our consolidated order book, 77% is for project business and 23% for the product business. The order includes Rs. 944 for export orders, which is just over 13%. The order book for Hitachi Rosen is also good. It has Rs. 616 crores of orders as of 31st December 2021. The overall demand trend is encouraging as the inquiry position is very good. As we are well booked, we are being choosy in booking new orders and focusing on orders which offer reasonable margins. You will be glad to know that the new ethanol plant at Saraswati Sugar Mills has commenced commercial production in December 2021. It is running very well. Regarding Cavite Biofuels ethanol plant in the Philippines, we are preparing for starting construction, but we are also evaluating some offers for a possible sale. They are still at an initial stage. We have given emphasis on vaccination and also organized some camps for vaccination at our offices and factories. 99.9% of the eligible manpower, our employees and contractors workers, have received the second dose. My colleagues and I will now be happy to answer any questions.
Sir, can we open the call for a Q&A session?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Renjit from Mahindra Manulife. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats on good set of numbers. Sir, if I look at our quarter performance, like it's glad to see that the EPC division's margins have improved. But then when do we see this going to the normalized level, and is this in addition to this fixed price contract, is there an impact of FGD of NTPC also in this, which is leading to this lower margin?
So these lower margins will continue for a few quarters, for a few quarters, one or two more quarters they will continue for. And this is basically because of the fixed price contracts which are there and the unprecedented hike in commodity prices. But there are some other reasons also, as I've explained. The order booking is... from exports is lower. Export orders normally give a much better margin. Because of COVID and other related issues, people have not been able to move. We've not been able to give get export orders. So we changed our strategy when export orders were not coming, which are at a higher margin. We booked orders from the PSU sector. PSU sector, the payment terms are adverse, so interest costs go up. They are long contracts. Although they do have price escalation clauses, the price escalation clauses are not, they don't cover you 100% for the, there's not 100% pass-through. They, some part of the escalation is not covered. So these are some of the reasons which led to a lower margin. But now, as we progress into successive quarters, the proportion of the orders that are from the older orders, which have been taken at lower prices, they will somehow they will keep reducing, and the newer orders that we've taken at better margins, their billing and revenues will kick in. So and things will things should start improving. And as far as the FGD is concerned, not particularly. I need to say, yes, FGD is also contributed, but not disproportionately.
Okay. And, sir, we hear a lot of this policy-related angle, which is actually supporting this the ethanol plant, like a lot of players are putting this ethanol plant, and that opportunity is huge. One of some of our competitors have booked huge orders in that. So are we also looking at that segment in terms of capabilities? Do we have the capabilities to participate in this ethanol related opportunity? Because currently, as per the new policy, you can convert the the sugar, the cane juice into ethanol, and a lot of players are putting up capex in that front. So are we also there as a player in this segment where we can also get some fair share of the market? Because I don't see that in your orders booked.
No, so yes, we are very much there, and we should be getting some orders before the close of this year for the distilleries. We are executing some at this point in time. We are executing at least one large one. We are executing, and we should get a couple more before the close of this financial year. Let me say we are close to getting some before the close of this financial year.
Okay, because as per the initial analysis, if every sugar company goes for this 1G conversion, then probably there will be a 12,000 to 13,000 crore of market out there. So, what can be our likely share? You believe that in this ethanol opportunity?
Likely. So, do you know, as far as boilers are concerned, boilers for ethanol plants, we've been there for a long time, and we have a lot of orders for them. Ethanol plant per se, we got into later in time, and we've executed a few distilleries, and we are hopeful of getting more orders. We have executed some. We are in the process of execution, and we hope to get more orders. Now, I can't tell you whether the market will be clever, but we hope that, you know, whatever market fructifies, that we will strive to get a 20% market share of that.
Okay, and are we participating in any future FGD orders, or we don't want to get more orders in FGD? So what's your thought process in this FGD front?
So if opportunities come by, we will participate.
Okay, because we saw some of these private guys and some of the smaller states ordering out FGDs, but did we participate in those tenders, or we stayed away from them?
Yes, sir. We are executing a large FGD for the state sector. For a particular state, we are executing.
Okay, so we are there. That means we are. So this FGD opportunity is something which we are still on.
Yes. Depending on the market, yes, we are on. We are not saying that we will not take more FGD orders.
Okay, and in waste heat recovery also we are there. Hello?
Yes, Ranjit.
Yeah, in waste heat recovery also we are a prominent player. Is that understanding correct?
Right.
Okay, sir. All the best. And last one data point, if you can share the order intake for this quarter. What was the order intake number?
I think I said it in my speech. It is about 800 something crores.
800 crore. Okay. Thank you, sir. Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Before we give the next question, a reminder to the participants. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Anish Mehta from AB Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Hi, sir. So, I had a couple of questions on ethanol. So, what is the outlook on ethanol as the demand is very high? And the second one is, what is your current utilization and the capacity for ethanol?
So are you talking about our own ability to manufacture ethanol, the capacity over there, or to set up plants?
Sir, both, sir. If you could, throw some light on.
Okay, so ethanol is a substitute. For fuel, so it reduces valuable foreign exchange outgo, and therefore the government has given it a lot of impetus. Incentives are also there in terms of interest subvention for the capital expenditure. So we see that there would be a lot of factories going in for ethanol, they're doing well because of ethanol. There is no doubt about that. As far as our capacity to do ethanol plants, we probably can do about 4 to 5 plants a year, and our own ethanol plant is 100 KLPD per day, and it's running well.
Okay, sir. I understand. Okay, sir. Yeah, that does answer my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants again. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Zaid from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my question relates to the order book. So how much of our order book has fixed the price clause and how much is the variation clause, if you can quantify?
Kishore, would you like to answer this question, please?
Yes, please. So all the private sector orders, they are fixed price contracts. So that is roughly about 58% of the order book. The PSU order book, some of the PSUs actually allow for price variation clauses on certain items. So PSU order book is about 42%. They do allow price variation clauses on items like steel, fuel oil, diesel, and so on. But that's only part of the project cost. Also, as Mr. Puri also mentioned in his opening remarks, the pass-through is not 100% because the PSUs benchmark based on indexes, whereas what we need to buy is actually from a limited amount of the good company, good players in the market. And that doesn't really mean the price variation by these people doesn't mirror the index 100%. So to reply in a short form, 42% of the order book is from PSUs. Most of them, they allow price reduction clauses, but the pass-through is not 100%.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Mayur Liman from ProfitMart Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to ask, what is the outlook for next quarter? Can you share your thoughts on that?
Kishore, I think we are able to comment in any numbers,
but Mr. Puri also mentioned about that the EPC will behave almost similar to what it was in this quarter for the next couple of quarters, after which the newer orders will be under execution. And things will improve after that.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. Next question is from the line of Ambar Singhania from Nippon India. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. My question is just a follow-up on the previous participants on the order book front. As you mentioned, 58% of the order book is a fixed price contract of total 7,000 odd crore orders. And at the same time, in the opening remarks, you mentioned that in another two quarters, you will be through with the lower margin fixed price contracts. So just wanted to understand, sir, out of these 58%, how much of the project or how much of the orders are old price contract and how much is already built in on the correct pricing? And secondly, once through with old products in the next two quarters, what kind of margin trajectory you see for the company in the, on a sustainable basis?
So what we are saying is that after a few quarters, the proportion of these old contracts would reduce significantly. That is our point. At this point in time, we will not be able to exactly tell you how much of those fixed price contracts are new or old. I don't think we have those figures readily available right now. But we hope to see improved margins after a couple of quarters coming in. And they should improve from the current levels. So we hope that more export orders will come in and these orders taken at newer prices will start getting built.
So, sir, would it be fair to assume the orders which you have got in last two, three quarters are already bid at a price which factors in a lot complete price escalation which has happened in the current scenario? Also, we are still
maybe the last two quarters, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, what would be the sustainable margin on a longer term basis? Where, any trajectory, if you can give us, like, would it be fair to assume like we would be in a trajectory of double digit margins on a sustainable basis on a longer term horizon?
I don't think we should. We'll be in a position to give you any guidance on the margins, except to saying that they will, except for saying that they will improve.
Okay. And just sorry to again harp on the margin part. On the sugar business, as you mentioned, that last year there was an export incentive which was there. This year it is not there. So going forward, assuming that these incentives will not be there, would it be fair to assume the margins we are clocking in Q2 and Q3 roughly around
30-40%
of
the
big margin in sugar business is something which is the normalized margin one should look at?
Sure. Let me answer that. So it's not that the margins were getting improved because of the exports. Somebody speaking in the background, I'm not able to answer very well. But nevertheless, let me repeat. In the case of the sugar, it is not that the export was offering more margins. it was basically compensating for a lower price in the international market. So the effective price at which we were selling was roughly the same as the domestic price. The difference is in the quantity of sugar that we sold. So because of exports, domestic sugar, as you know, there is a government quota and we are allowed to sell only that much, which the government decides based on their understanding of demand and supply. But in the case of export, we sold more quantity last year. This year, that quantity has not been sold. So the sale has been down. Obviously, that quantity will be sold over the months as and when the government gives us the quota. The point is that the inventory is valued at lower of market price or cost price. So inventory is valued at cost, the market price is higher. The margins will get realized when the inventory gets sold. I hope I have been able to clarify that.
Got it. Sir, and lastly, just last question from my side, on the ethanol side, we have started this plant recently, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a KLPD plant. So, can just share a broad economics of this plant on a full-scale basis, when we expect this to be operational on a 100% capacity, and what kind of economics it will give in terms of revenues and the profitability on a normalized working?
So that the financial figures will be available to us only at the end of the quarter, but barring a few days when weather in northern India was very bad, and you know, the sugar factory also had to be stopped because of excessive rains came not being available, the distillery is already running at 100% capacity.
So just on a as a thumb rule, 100 KLPD plant gives can give what kind of revenue, sir, on a full scale basis, full year?
About, I think, 180 to 200 crores.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side, and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Deepesh Agarwal from UTI AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Puri and team. Congrats for managing tough times well. My first question is, can you help us with some order inflow prospects? As we can see in last two quarters, your order inflows has not been exciting despite strong ordering in your industry.
So, as I said earlier, because of the price hike, commodity price hike, we have become choosy in taking orders, and we've also and we've done it because we are fully booked. So we are fully booked, and it doesn't make sense to become aggressive in taking orders at this point in time when the commodity prices we did not want to take too many orders when the prices were volatile. So that is why the order booking is slightly low. The market is good, but we are comfortably booked. So so it should be okay. It's been a conscious decision.
Okay. Can you help us? What percentage of our order book would be from say non-coal based boilers or something which you will term as a green kind of an order?
So boilers, I suppose. Just within the boiler segment, I don't know, I cannot disclose the figures to you, but within the boiler segment, maybe 50% of the orders are from non-coal based boilers, or even more.
Okay. Any roadmap you have in mind in improving the green offering for ISJEK in the near future?
Yes, we are looking at a couple of things. We are evaluating a couple of things, and we are alive to it. But we don't want to disclose them right now.
Okay. And so lastly, sir, can you highlight what is the ultimate roadmap for the Philippines project? You have been guiding for starting work in this project since couple of past quarters, but nothing seems to be moving on ground out there. So what is the challenge out there and how we'll get out of it?
Yeah, so as far as the Philippines project is concerned, COVID and other things have prevented us from going in for construction. We are ready to start construction. At the same time, we have some offers from people to purchase it. So either we will we'll take a decision very soon, maybe in the next couple of months, either to start the construction or to sell the plant.
Okay. Thank you.
COVID is also now reducing, and we think that practically speaking, it would be we would be in a position to start construction if we wish to do that.
Okay, thank you, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Ranj from Nippon AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. My first question is, I just wanted to know what is the total debt as of December.
Can you just be a little louder? Sorry for that. Couldn't hear you.
Yeah,
total debt. He wanted to know the total debt.
Sure.
31st of December. So the net borrowing on a standalone basis is 226 crores as of 31st of December. It is 16 crores higher than it was on the 30th of September. So the incremental borrowing during the quarter is 16 crores on a standalone basis. On a consolidated basis, the net borrowing is 756 crores.
And how much is it in September?
It is down by about 100 crores since September.
Okay. And my second question is, in reply to your previous participant's question, you said that, regarding Philippine sugar plant, one option is that you complete the construction, another option is you sell outright. So in case we decide to complete the construction, what is the more amount which we'll have to spend?
Kishore?
So the amount that needs to be spent, so we have a loan sanction from Stanchart of about 24, pardon me, I shouldn't have named the bank, but so it's about $24 million. That's the loan that we have sanctioned from the bank. So it's about that amount.
Right. So basically, if we decide to go ahead and complete the construction, then we'll sell only after the construction is complete, right?
Yes. Or we so it's a call that we have to take. As the construction keeps going on, probably the valuation will keep improving. So that's a call that we will take. Yeah. But if we start the construction, most probably we'll sell it after the construction is completed.
Okay. And once the construction starts, how much time it will take for us to complete this?
12 months. To commission it, 12 months. Yeah.
So basically, 12 months from now, we would have we would have completed the construction, and maybe we'll get more attractive offers, or perhaps you may decide to go and sell now also. So within next 12 to 15 months, we would have certainly ahead of this transaction.
Right.
Right. And sir, as you explained to previous participants that, raw material price is very volatile, so you were a little slow in terms of booking the orders. But now, since a large part of price hike has already happened, and also I think budget was one which was expected to fuel the capex. So how are you seeing overall order pipeline, and will you be more aggressive now in the coming quarters, or you still want to wait and see?
We will not. We will certainly be more. Let's be honest about it. The commodity price hike has forced us to look very carefully at much more carefully at material costs, because we will be choosy, but we will take orders. We will not let order booking be a deterrent to our sales and profitability, the profits. We think that the commodity price hike may be behind us, and we can certainly become a little more aggressive in taking orders.
Right.
Obviously, subject to capacity being available.
Right. And then lastly, in terms of capability building, so again, you highlighted that you're trying to build some capabilities in green energy front and all. So which are the newer areas where you would want to have capabilities and, where competition would be less and we will have some technological edge so that, we don't have to really, take orders at very low margins?
So we are in the continuous process of evolving as far as technology is concerned. And we are also in the continuous process of looking for new technology. So I will not be able to name anything in particular, but all I can say is that the last 2 years have brought about a lot of changes in the way we think the future will be, and we are sort of gearing ourselves to be a part of that story.
In the future. Great, sir. Thanks for all your replies, and wish you very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Goyal from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much. Sir, a couple of things. When I look at the standalone and consolidated numbers in the manufacturing segment, we see that seems to be subsidiaries have done really well in this quarter. So maybe if you can just, despite turnover not growing so much, so wanted to just understand as to what has led to such a significant improvement in the PBIT for the subsidiaries.
So the subsidiaries have had a good order book. They have built capabilities. So one subsidiary is Sugar. Sugar, we just explained that actually the profit was slightly was lower.
No, and sir, I'm sure just particularly for manufacturing of machinery and equipment.
Machinery. Okay. Sorry. So the main subsidiary over there is Hitachi Zosen. The order booking was good. The turnover was good. They're venturing into, they ventured and they have delivered more complex equipment with better margins. So that is, in the manufacturing segment, in the subsidiaries, that is primary, is something that is caused an improvement, basically.
Basically, is the Hitachi Zosen, as we had mentioned in the last quarter, they had substantial equipment ready for dispatch which were not being lifted by the customers due to transport problems or something, some other reasons. So obviously the margins get booked only when the equipment gets sold, dispatched, invoiced to the customers. So in this quarter, the loss in the previous quarter in this company and the profit in this quarter were both related to the dispatch. So last quarter, the dispatches were less. This quarter, the dispatches picked up. All the equipment which was ready got dispatched.
Okay. And what was the order book of Hitachi Zosen envisioned in the initial remarks?
616 crores.
Okay, so that is quite a good improvement on a sequential basis also. So second thing on the other income, which is down in the consolidated, is it due to last year in the other income we had sugar subsidy element, that is why it is down?
That's right, Manish. Some of that was appearing as other income. Some of the subsidy was appearing as other income. That's right.
Okay. And just to get a better perspective, no doubt a couple of participants have asked, but maybe order pipeline-wise, especially in exports, how do we see, because last couple of years export inflows, order inflows has been quite low. So are we seeing improved prospects? And also, if you can comment which areas you are seeing this improvement.
Yeah, we are seeing, and we think, and our people have begun to travel. Last quarter also, I said they had begun, but then again, you know, a lot of countries imposed restrictions because of Omicron and the COVID-related restrictions. So they have started traveling, and we think the next couple of months we should be able to book good orders. And this is Africa, Southeast Asia, basically. And for some segments, you know, there could be some orders from Europe also, but not a high amount from Europe.
Okay. And sir, how is Eagle Press doing now? Has it probably recovered from the losses?
So, as I had said last time, this year is going to show some loss, but we hope that by next year it will be positive.
Okay.
This year, because of the Canadian-US border being shut, we could not get lots of orders from the US. But things have opened up in the last 1 month or in that part of the world, and order booking has also been good for you.
Okay. Okay, sir. And sir, last question on the order inflow number. If Mr. Chatnani, if you can just repeat the order inflow number for the current quarter and comparable and 9 months also.
So current quarter, the consolidated order booking was 893 crores.
Okay.
The number was 849 crores for the previous quarter, September quarter. And the 9 month booking is 4,109 crores.
And what was the comparable number, sir?
Comparable number 9 months last, the previous year was 3,390.
Right, sir. Thank you so much, sir. I'll come back in a little.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Patil from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, how much investment we have done for the 100 KLPD distillery?
You sure?
The investment, including GST, which is going to be recovered as we sell the ethanol, is about 178 crores.
Okay. And sir, similar investment till date in the Philippines biofuel plant. What is the number there?
Philippines, we haven't done an investment as yet, in the sense that when we bought over that group of companies, we bought it over for only $100. But we have been, you know, owning it and taking care of the plant and salaries and insurance and those kind of things. So up to now, we have spent about 49 crores as a loan in the last 2.5 years.
Okay. So what would be the quarterly fixed cost there?
About 6-7 crores, please.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anshul Sehgal from Kotak PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. In this period, the last maybe 2-3 quarters, and we've seen raw material prices go up so much, and our margins have compressed as a result. Is there some, I mean, are there some checks and balances we can bring to the business to ensure this doesn't happen again, or this will remain the model and this volatility will, in times of raw material volatility, this will come up every such time?
So we are, we are aware of the fact, or we were always aware of the fact that, you know, steel prices and other prices could go up, but not to the extent that they have. So we always used to keep a contingency margin when we take an order for these sort of hikes. But this time it was unprecedented. So there are various strategy measures that we are looking at to see how this effect can be mitigated, although I have to confess that it cannot be brought down to zero. But including keeping a higher contingency, entering into back-to-back with the steel manufacturers, although they are not very conducive to such an arrangement these days because prices are going up, so you know they think that they'll be sacrificing on their margins. And we are also seeing whether hedging of steel and some metals like copper, aluminium, and nickel, if that is possible. So we are exploring all these possibilities to see if we can minimize the effect of volatility, which could be positive or negative, the effect of volatility. But we are trying to see if we could minimize that.
Right. My second question is with regards to Hitachi Zosen. When does the contract get renegotiated with ISJAC? That is one. And second, the consolidated uptick because of this subsidiary in margins, is that a one-off or we are likely to see a this to be a trend going forward?
So as Kishore has said, this year this quarter there was also the effect of the previous quarter equipment not being lifted in that quarter because of shipping arrangements which were to be made by the customer, not by Hitachi Zosen. And as far as the agreement is there, the agreement is continuing, and we don't see a break to the agreement in the near future.
Okay. On the Philippines question and what you mentioned that you have to decide in the next few months whether you want to sell or you want to complete the project and then sell it, what will be the decider on that decision? Meaning, how will you? What is the trade-off, and what will make you decide one way or the other?
The offer, the offer. How good is the offer, and what is the security of the payment?
And since you mentioned that you have been in some discussions already, has an offer been made, or this is just discussions on due diligence?
I don't know whether I can disclose all this or not. Kishore, I don't know. Kishore?
We are just considering some offers. That's what we are evaluating offers.
Okay, got it.
But it is at an initial. You must recognize that it's an initial stage. If something is going to happen, we will inform in due course.
Yes, and my final question actually on the margins and this question of volatility because of raw materials. I think two quarters back, the general belief that the street had was that this volatility will continue for two quarters, which meant that this would be the last quarter. But now it looks like in the ensuing maybe couple of quarters, this volatility will sustain. What has led to this, this sort of a development?
This is a question for a PhD thesis that you asked. Volatility in commodity markets. So,
No. I'm not asking about volatility in the commodity markets. I'm saying that, in the con call two quarters back, it was mentioned that this volatility for us, for our business, should continue for two quarters. And it looks like it's gotten extended a little bit. So I just, I just want to understand where is the difference in assessment?
There has been a hike in, there was a volatility in the commodity market a few months ago also. So it actually only stabilized about 40, 50 days ago.
Okay, got it.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishit Shah from Equitas Investment. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for this opportunity. Sir, we were in the process of debottlenecking some of our manufacturing facilities. So what is an update over there?
So we were expanding one of our units. That unit has got the expansion is over and production has started in full swing in that thing. But you know, these things contribute towards a much smaller part of our total revenue. But yes, the expansion finished a little before time, and the production is happening.
Sir, can you quantify how much will it increase our revenue by?
The manufacturing thing may be about 50-60 crores.
Okay. And so my second question would be that since we are seeing good demand across, so are we planning more capex in this division?
Let things stabilize. Yes, we do have some proposals, let me call it, for investment, but we haven't taken a final decision, and they are not big numbers in terms of investment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utkarsh Somya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Can you please throw some light on the FGD opportunity in India and how the company is placed to benefit from it?
So the major FGD orders have been done. Now some state governments are coming up and some private sector people are going to go in for FGD. That's what the market tells us. So the company is poised to get the company is there in FGDs. It's not withdrawing itself from FGDs. It's going to be participating in the market and hope to get some orders.
Okay. Now, how big is the FGD market?
So I will not be able to give you numbers because now it's in the hands of, see, when it is NTPC making the investment, one is very clear how many plants needed FGDs and what was their time frame for the ordering. Now it's the market is a little more fragmented, but it's still in thousands of crores, I can tell you that.
Can we assume this to be a multi-year opportunity, if not for the company, then for the industry?
A multi-year opportunity. Multi-year opportunity, is that what you asked?
Yes, because the deadline is 2024, right?
Yes, but I don't think everybody is going to be ready by 2024, honestly speaking, if you ask me. The government will probably extend it.
They'll probably extend it. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renjit from Mahindra Manulife. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Just a clarification. Like you told this 178 crore which we had invested for the distillery, that will have a top line of 180 to 200 crore, right?
So this 178 includes GST. It also includes some investment that we made in improving our boilers, changing some boilers and some, you know, it's not pure distillery. It is distillery plus some changes in our boilers and the cooling towers and so on. And okay, construction tanks for storage.
And for this, we are planning to convert the juice into ethanol, or is it like sea heavy molasses?
So the distillery is capable of doing everything, but we are right now working on sea heavy molasses.
Okay, so we are still not considering to convert the juice in this.
Not right now. It depends on the economics of it because there are different prices fixed for ethanol from various from different sources.
Okay, so probably it can contribute around 180 to 200 crore in terms of top line.
Yeah.
So around 3 years of payback.
That is for you to conclude.
Okay, thanks. And sir, one more thing which I was looking for some clarity is that what will be our capex for this year and next year, excluding this distillery? Is there anything else that we are planning to increase capacities?
No, we haven't firmed up, and it's not going to the capex is not going to be very major.
And this auto is currently picking up. So are you seeing signals in terms of our press machine, because that is related to auto? So are you seeing an increased amount of inquiry in our press division?
Yes.
Okay. And you have mentioned this oxygen plant in your order intake. Is that a big number or it's a smaller kind of a size? 25 oxygen plant.
It's something new that we did, and we did it in record time, so that's we put it. It's not a very big number.
Okay, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Digantharia from Green Edge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So my question is that in the project division, in the last 4 quarters, we have booked a revenue of around 3420 crores, which is, you know, less than what we did in the last 2 years. So despite this record order book, our execution in the project division has not reached a record level. Is it because there were COVID-related disruptions, and, you know, can FY23, is free from all these disruptions, can we see a much higher execution number?
Yes, you're right. And I would also like to point out that that in the project business particularly, it's not only the COVID period when, you know, work doesn't happen at site or it didn't happen at site, the site, but it is also a fact that a lot of government offices and all were not functioning. They did not give approvals, drawing approvals. So, you know, the whole schedule gets disturbed because of that, because once the drawing approval comes, you manufacture things, then the COVID period comes. So in many things, many times this the effect of COVID multiplies. Because during the COVID period, you can't work at site. But because during the previous COVID period, approvals were delayed, material is not ready to reach the site before the COVID period or after the COVID period. So COVID has really disturbed the operation.
Got it, sir. So FY23, even if, say, we have to do like 4,500 crores of execution, we have the capability, right, if all these external forces are in place.
Yes.
Okay, sir. And second question is mainly on, you know, a lot of other companies are also reporting record orders and execution. So, you know, are you facing any labor-related challenges, sir, not just at the lower level, but even at the mid-level, you know, say your, you know, engineers and that? So any
Nothing significant. It's not impacting work.
Okay, sir. Sir, and last question, a lot of participants have asked, but, you know, I will just delve a little further, that if, steel prices were to go up further, will the hit be lower than what we saw in the last 12 months? That's one. And second is, at an industry level, are you seeing anything, any change in the way other players are also behaving with respect to this passing on of the steel prices? So that's it from my side. Thank you.
No, so we are not seeing any change that way. I don't know what the policies of other companies are. But the point is that we have to look in house and see how we can minimize the impact of this sort of volatility.
Yeah, right. Sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants: if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Ritika Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. So I wanted to know that the private sector orders that we have, which represent 58% of our order book, do we have any clause in them which will account for commodity price fluctuations?
Very few orders.
Even the new ones that we are booking, like the 800 crore odd order book that we have for this quarter, include that we have for this quarter, so we do not have commodity price fluctuations covered in those.
Right, because the point is that you are in a competitive environment. So if your competitors are not asking for a commodity price hike, you also cannot, you cannot become rigid on that.
Okay. And so these new orders are being put, are being taken, keeping what margins in mind?
Higher margins, higher contingencies.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Viral Shah for his closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you everyone for participating in the call. And we once again thank the management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Sir, any closing comments from your end?
No, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for attending the conference. And wishing you all, everyone, all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Yes Securities, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.